Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the privilege to learn, to grow, to be equipped. Thank you for these great men and women of God, the people you have chosen and set aside for yourself, equipping and preparing, pouring yourself into them because of the mandate that is ahead of us. I pray that each one here is equipped, built up, strengthened, refreshed by the will of God. I give you praise that at the end of this class, we'll be the better for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Our vision again is to reintroduce Jesus to this generation, equipping the believer to know who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, and what Christ can do through you. That's a mandate. It keeps us happy. It keeps us excited. And that mandate keeps us running. I want to quickly mention that tonight, as we look into the course, today is week 29, right, Pastor Sean?
Yes, Daddy.
Week 29.
Yes, sir.
All right. So today we're going to be looking at excellence, ambience, opulence, and the impressionable. Excellence, ambience, opulence, and the impressionable. Excellence, ambience, opulence, and the impressionable. I'm just going to give you gist tonight. I'm not going to do a lot of teaching, but it's just a gisty night. Tonight is gisty night.
It's birthday week, Baba. We are celebrating with you.
You know that kind of feeling, right?
Yes, sir.
Tonight is not much of exegesis. It's much of gist. So, ready for my gist.
Always ready.
All right. So, some years ago, a friend of mine and his other friends had a tour of some cities in the U.S. and in the Western world. And they visited several churches. Most, if not all, had exquisite structures, great ambience. And they took my friends around the facilities, including sport facilities, recreation sports, including Christian nightclubs within the facility of those churches. They even had Christian nightclubs. So my friend was wondering, what in the world is a church doing with all this sport facility, nightclub, recreational kinds of stuff within the same complex? In one of the churches, he told me that even the guy that tried to exegete why they had a Christian nightclub at all, talk less of within the church facility, he retorted, you know, if we don't provide all this, they will get attracted to it elsewhere. So we invite them for drinks. And after a while of coming, we preach Christ to them, but slowly. And so my friend said he chuckled and couldn't hold back his tears of laughter. And he said, what did I just hear? Then one on my friend's team exclaimed, this is very great. That's what we have been trying to get pastor to see in Nigeria. When we return, we shall impress it upon our pastor to build this kind of facility with all these resources. So my friend said, when he heard it, he responded, please do not bring this funny style into Nigeria. We have had enough of the vestiges of their backsliding state here. We don't have issues in Nigeria with preaching the gospel with power. Now that's impressionable. And that's how many strange things found its way into our churches. The reason many quickly hug this ridiculous approach is lack of prayer and power. Lack of prayer and power. Several people lack of exposure. Lack of exposure. And above all, many is laziness to do proper ministry. Laziness. And several love this ambience because they simply aren't exposed to such and can easily be awed by it. You know, they get awed by ambience, TV lights, you know, all those effects, light effects, you know, and all of that. I have seen more ambience and opulence and even unrivaled around the world, but not churches. So to use that to draw me like bone to a dog will not work. but not for many who are, you know, who haven't got that kind of exposure. And don't get me wrong, my background was far from such exposure, but afterwards I was able to get that kind of exposure. Now, this, my friend, got surprised that, you know, the guys they went to America with to go and learn the Bible, to learn the Word of God, when they, instead of catching the Word of God, they only got there and found ambience. Now, during the Azusa Street Revival, I'm sure you've heard of the Azusa Street Revival in America. That's the revival that gave birth to Kojic, Church of God in Christ. And from that revival, we had Assemblies of God Church from Church of God in Christ. Assemblies of God Church actually came out of Church of God in Christ. And then we had some of these churches in America, which are still mainstream denominations till today. But a friend of mine who was there, you know, back in the days told me that he believes that when people moved into that Azusa Street revival in the heat of the revival and caught the fire of that move of God, that by the time Nigerians got to the place, the substance of the revival had left. What Nigerians went and met was a shadow of the revival, and that's what they brought to us. This guy has bad mouth. The Nigerians went there when the shadow was remaining, the substance was gone. They brought back the shadow. And this is the result of the shadow we're seeing today. Well, I didn't say yes to it or no, I just laughed, like I'm laughing now. Now, so it's ridiculous things that the church is celebrating. To add this, when people need answers to problems, they travel far, some into forests, including the well-traveled internationally, into some of the most ridiculous places for solutions. Anyone that is truly hungry for Christ will never look for ambience, will never look for some ushers that will tell him we celebrate you, will never look for red carpet, whether you meet it in a five-star building or you start gauging how exquisite the pastor and his crew of entertainers dress or appear. You will never. If these are what ticks the boxes for anybody, then it is one of two things. Number one, you're either little or not exposed at all to such in any sphere. That's number one. The person is either little or not exposed at all to such in any sphere, or the person is just a carnally ruled believer, and at times not even a believer in truth. This is why many, upon leaving the shores of Africa and seeing the Western world in its glory, not within church, they don't go to church anymore. Once you just get to the Western world and begin to see life at another level, everything organized, everything is available, then there's no need to go to church now, because we were going to church so God can have mercy and give us bread. We were going to church so that God can protect us from witches and wizards. We were going to church so that our enemies will not get a hold of us. And we were going to church so that at least by the time we sing and dance, we'll come back, we feel better. Then you go to the Western world, you see, everybody looks very, very, you know, very nice. The streets are beautiful. The medical conditions are cool. You know, there's welfare, there are banking services and all that. Then there's no point to go to church now. You just stay at home. And that's why a lot of people, when they travel out, they get swallowed. They get sucked in by the life abroad. And as a child of you know, a child that is born by this version of Christianity, where you're just looking for things, you're just looking for ambience, you're looking for, you know, opulence, you're looking for things that impress, that has opened the door for the devil to do the havoc he's doing in the church in Africa today. Like I always say, don't allow anyone make complicated your simple devotion to Christ. Don't allow anyone make complicated your simple devotion to Christ. So that people cannot worship well because of no air conditioners. That people cannot sing well because of mode of musical instruments. The model is not the type they were looking for. Some cannot worship well because of the texture of church seats, sound quality, no stage lights. Like some people in Abuja were doing a whole ministers conference, a global ministers conference, and all they were bragging about is their crowd and their building. And they said some of us have dilapidated buildings. That's in a ministers conference, a whole ministers conference. That's what they are training young preachers to look for. Look for crowd at all means. Why wouldn't these boys go to Kumasi and go and get those Kumasi people to touch their tongues with things to start prophesying and wash their eyes after 40 days fasting? Why? Why wouldn't they go to these native doctors and get something that they'll put in their mouth that will pull crowd? Why wouldn't they do that? Because that's the definition of ministry. That's the definition of ministry. You know? And that's what many pastors are going to leave that place with. So you see why there's a lot of no sound doctrine emphasis. No sound doctrine. Even the people ministering in that conference don't even know sound doctrine to start with. So you can imagine the kind of quality of ministers they're churning out. Something is wrong. Fundamentally wrong. We have a huge work to do in Africa. Let me close my gist. My gist tonight. Let me close my gist. Is the gist too short? It's not too brief. That is gist now. Gist can be 2 minutes. Gist can be 30 minutes. Gist can be 5 minutes. Let me close with a comment a Chinese believer made after visiting one of such ambient facilities. He had been shown around and was expected to be wowed by the show of opulence and exquisiteness. He said, great at what we can do without the Holy Spirit. Great as what at what we can do without the Holy Spirit. Then he asked, you are yet to show me what the Holy Spirit is doing amongst you. Great at what we can do without the Holy Spirit. But you're here to show me what the Holy Spirit is doing amongst you. Those words should resonate through Christianity in us and reverberate through worship. So that you won't say, I didn't read Bible, I just gave you story. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2 to 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2 to 5. For I determine not to know anything amongst you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What a class. What a class. And that is where the problem of the body of Christ has been. Praise God. So let me give you an assignment for this first class and see if I can give you another class. That's all the class, man. Assignment, question number one. What can you identify as the reason why many believers are impressionable and have embraced the wrong mode of ministry? What can you identify from this little gist as the reason why many believers are impressionable and have embraced the wrong mode of ministry? What can you identify as the reason why many believers are impressionable and have embraced the wrong mode of ministry? Question number two. What do you recommend as the solution to this, as taught from the teaching above? What do you recommend as a solution to this, as taught from the teaching above? Question number three. What should the focus of the local church be? What should the focus of the local church be? What a class. All right, let me try and do another class. Week 30. So you want signs and wonders? So you want signs and wonders? You desire power? That's the title of, it's a question that is the title of the second class. So you want signs and wonders? You desire power? So recently, I stumbled on a post and several comments on the need for word or grace or finished work. Preachers to also demonstrate power. See, these preachers only preach grace. They only preach word, finished work. No power, no power. We want power, raw power. One fellow mischievously referred to a conference hosted by a preacher which he criticized for having no one standing up from wheelchair. Not even one person stood up from wheelchair. It's obvious amidst the noise of word and doctrine, several are aligning with their old and seeming die-hard, unbridled appetite for showmanship. Several are aligning with their old and seeming die-hard, unbridled appetite for showmanship. First and foremost, the gospel is no sign or wonder. The gospel is a message. The gospel is no sign or wonder. The gospel is a message. Secondly, miracles, signs and wonders are not exclusive to Christianity. Miracles, signs, and wonders are not exclusive to Christianity. Number three, Jesus didn't send us to work miracles. That's not the Great Commission. Jesus didn't send us to work miracles, though they do occur as we preach. But it's not our message. It's not our message. Back to the basics. Please, these classes are very serious. Very, very serious. Back to the basics. Having anyone follow you and believe you for miracles is tantamount to breeding a sign-seeking generation. Having anyone follow you and believe you for miracles is tantamount to breeding a sign-seeking generation. Moses had a crowd which saw God's power for 40 years. And amongst millions, only two people, only two, with the exclusion of the children, who believed the gospel. Amongst millions, 40 years of miracle ministry, only two people minus children believed the gospel. That's instructive. Aside Moses, the other two had the most prominent signs and wonders in the Old Testament were Elijah and Elisha. And it's vital, and very vital is the fact that whilst the latter had a mention of miracles, the former had Jesus mention him once for miracles. In the same place. Only once Jesus mentioned him for miracles. Luke 4:25-27. Luke 4, 25 to 27. Then afterwards, Jesus rebuked the same Elijah when they were trying to copy him to bring fire down. In Luke 9, 54 to 56. Luke 9, 54 to 56. It's of utmost importance that they had no single utterance of reference about Christ's finished work. None of them. Not a single mention. Except, of course, the implied correction of Elijah for being largely ignorant, presumptuous, and accusatorial by Paul. That's the only time Paul mentioned Elijah, and it was to just rebuke him. Because Elijah was being ignorant, presumptuous, and accusatorial in Romans 11, 2 to 4. Then, of course, James mention of his prayer attitude. Those are the three mentions of Elijah in the New Testament. The one Jesus mentioned and rebuked him. The one Paul mentioned how he was, you know, accusatory towards Israel. And James, who spoke about his prayer attitude in James 5, 17 to 18, which is also commendable. But as per the gospel, Elijah and Elisha were not referenced at all, not even in passing. That's why I did that video this night, just to encourage pastors in rural areas, pastors with little churches, little ministries who are sincerely serving Christ and laboring, that have been told that if their building is dilapidated, they're not doing ministry, they don't have crowd, because Christ was a crowd puller. If I do exegesis on those people, like, they won't find where to hide in Africa. But let's continue with our teaching. So, if you observe very carefully, it's of note that Jesus commended John the Baptist as having more prominence among all Old Testament prophets, including Moses and Elijah and Elisha. None of them was as prominent as John the Baptist. In Matthew 11, 9 to 10, first of all, Jesus called him a greater prophet. Yet, the guy didn't have one single miracle mentioned to his name. Not even headache. And I'm just using headache, not because headache is not a sickness, but I mean, that's one of the easiest things. You can take Panadol or paracetamol, and at least it will calm down a bit or go. In John 10:41, and many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle. John did no miracle, not even one miracle. John 10:41. John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. So what John was known for is greater than all the prophets of the Old Testament, was the message he brought. And that's why this evening I was saying the legacy of ministry is the message. It's not cathedrals. Competition. This one wants to be 250,000 seater because it's their father. Then the other one said he built 100,000 seater dome. And the other one said, okay, his own is five fingers of God, 150,000 seater. And they can't even finish the project because Tinubu's government has not allowed them to steal money from federal government. Because they were stealing from federal government. All of them were looting money under Jonathan's government. All of them. One of them was made to refund $3 billion to federal government. And he refunded it with my knowledge. And that's why throughout Buhari's government, we didn't hear his voice in Nigeria. Because Buhari's government told him if he says clean, they will expose him. He's quiet in Nigeria as if he has ever spoken before. Meanwhile, he was the only voice of the church during Jonathan's government. They even went to Israel with Jonathan, knelt him down by the Wailing Wall and anointed him with oil that he will win election. He came back and lost all the election. I'm not joking. I'm very serious. I know what I'm telling you guys. I have facts. You know, I don't say things. Me, when I say something, I already have my facts. If anybody challenges me, they'll just be seeing documents flying in the sky. I don't have a problem. I don't just speak. I don't just speak. Somebody humorously was saying, if Dr. Davina could bring a video of 1997, then it's possible all our tithes are still kept somewhere. I couldn't stop laughing. I looked at her and I said, I was not the one keeping the tithes. The tithes were kept by the church accounts. They were not with me. If they were with me, maybe it would be kept. But they were also used for ministry. So John the Baptist had no miracle to his name. Yet he had the most valid message in the Old Testament. The most valid message. Because that's the legacy for ministry. What did you preach? What's the content of your message? You know, during the healing revival, I think it was Jaco. If you guys have heard of Jaco, they had A.A. Allen, Alexander Dowe. They had Jaco. They had Maria Woodward Etta. They had all those names as God's generals. I think it was Jaco who built the city of Zion. 50,000 seater. 50,000. I'm talking about in the 60s. Somebody had a 50,000 seater that was packed to overflow. Today is a monument. It's a monument. People just go there for sightseeing. There's nothing there anymore. Because God does not dwell in temples built with hands. God doesn't. Oh, yep. Yeah. Alexander Dowie. Yeah. Today, nobody's there. So, it's serious. Some of these things, they are spending money and fighting 250,000 sitters, 150,000 sitters. Those things, in a short few years from now, they'll be shopping malls. Because God doesn't dwell in temples built with hands. People will buy them over. Go and see what's happening in the Europe. One guy stood by churches in Germany the other day showing big, big monuments, cathedrals, and nobody's attending. Years ago, those were the places where life was happening for the church. Because Jesus is not dwelling in physical temples. So there's no grace of God that can sustain a physical building. There's no grace of God that can sustain it. It's human beings that Christ lives in. And the mission of Christ is for people to be built up, strengthened, built up in the faith. But you know, people are waking up like wildfire. Like wildfire, I kid you not. I kid you not. When I got in the plane this morning, first of all, I didn't know that the lady that was greeting me in the first row was a brigadier general in the army. So she greeted me cheerfully, and I greeted her cheerfully. Then I got to my seat, and I sat down just behind her with one of the management staff of Ibom Air, one of their big boss. I didn't even know that this lady was a big boss. Then she now took the magazine, Ibom Air magazine, and showed me herself in the magazine. So you are this person. I've been looking and reading your articles. And then we started chatting. Then she said to me, thank you for making us think again where church is concerned. So I said to her, oh, have you been listening to me? She said, there's nobody that is not listening to you in the world. So I said, oh, that's kind of you. Then she said, I've been listening. Then I said, did you watch the podcast? I did. She said, that podcast. So we started chatting. She said, I was Catholic. Then I got married and I moved to Seventh-day Adventist from one extreme to another extreme. She said, at that point, nothing makes sense to me anymore. I don't go to church. I stay at home. So that's how we started discussing gospel. And I ended up getting them to give her Christocentric meals, send her materials. In fact, long story short, I started discipling her already. Then on my way out of the plane, the brigadier general lady now waited for me. When I came down, she greeted me very well. Then I said, Abel Damina is my name. She laughed. She said, is there nobody who doesn't know you? I know you very well. She said, but you said there is no heaven. Heaven is on earth here. I said, no, I didn't say that. You didn't hear me. Then she said, anyways, please pray for me. And then she told me something to pray for about. So I finished praying for her. And I said, can I have your number? I want to send you my full teachings on heaven so you can sit down and listen properly. And then we can talk. Sharply, she gave me a number and we sent out Living and Enjoying the Best of Two Worlds. She's already listening. The point I'm making is people are hungry for the message. They don't care about your miracles. They want Christ. People are hungry for Christ. They are hungry for Christ. These people don't understand that times have changed. Everything has shifted. You know, I once had a prominent preacher disparage John in the early 90s for this. You know, He just said John the Baptist didn't have a miracle and he was laughing at it. If only he understands what the ministry of the Lord Jesus is. Like I always tell people, Lazarus was raised from the dead after 4 days. Where is Lazarus still? He's gone. Even if somebody gets healed of a sickness today, that's not eternal life. After 1-2 years, he may get another sickness. Then he will be healed again. And after a while, he won't want healing. He will just want to die because the body will be tired. So, but the ultimate is eternal life. Jesus' mission was to save. To save. And his message was not well received now. He came unto his own. His own received him not. Isn't it? His own received him not. John 1:10-12. He came to his own. They rejected him. Israel rejected the message. They wanted miracles. And Jesus said to them very emphatically, an evil generation seek for sign, and not shall be given to them, but the sign of Jonas in the belly of the fish, which is the message of his death, burial, and resurrection. Yet his miracles pulled the most multitudes. Jesus' miracles brought multitudes. But when he brought sound doctrine, they left. The multitudes vanished. Some of his disciples even abandoned him. And that's very instructive. The message, if you're writing this one, not to miss, the message, not the miracles, is the exclusivity of Christianity. The message, not the miracles, is the exclusivity of Christianity. In Acts chapter 15, when the issue of the gospel to Gentiles was discussed, something noteworthy occurred. Something noteworthy. The apostles and elders, before listening to testimonies of signs and wonders done by Paul and Barnabas, they took time to examine what they taught. That was the first thing they looked at. What did you people teach? What did you preach? Which is the first thing before showing miracle testimonies. What was the content? What did you preach? What was the message? After Peter's validation of the ministry, whether the message was scriptural or not, after a thorough examination of the message, then they listened to the testimonies. So once again, miracles are not exclusive to Christianity. Only the message produces discernment, not miracles. What distinguished Philip from Simon the sorcerer in Acts was his message. It was his message. That was what distinguished Philip. The only thing you can use to identify a false prophet from a genuine man of God is the message. A false prophet will lead for numbers. A false prophet will tell you your history. A false prophet will give you prophecy. A false prophet will give you accurate details and analysis of your life. A false prophet will even do miracles. If the miracles don't come, you will do magic. The only thing that is not there is the message. The message. The message. Simon had bewitched an entire nation as someone who have done, you know, some people have done to whole countries or even continents today. And Simon bewitched that country for a long time. And they all looked up to him like some great man of God. In Acts chapter 8, verse 10 to 11, and I'm going to read it for you. Acts chapter 8, verse 10 to 11. To whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is a great power of God. Verse 11. And to him they had regard because out of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. He was called a man of God. Native doctor was called a man of God. A sorcerer. And Jesus spoke of false ministers in this regard. In Matthew 24:24, Jesus said, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, in so much that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Take note of the word great, great signs and wonders. Somebody was bragging about miracles in Nigeria. I said to him, "You guys, your miracles you do in Nigeria are arranged. You don't ever have miracles, self. You're just doing drama called miracles." I said, "If you really see where people are doing miracles, you will run. If you go to Brazil, all those Brazil countries, all those South American countries, where they will pack an entire stadium, and a sorcerer will take a person from the audience that is sick, lay the person down on the floor, tear the person open. You will see the person's internals. Internals. He will go into the person on the crusade ground with his hands, bring out what he says is the sickness, and put the person back without his scar." I'm not joking. I've watched some of those miracles, those things they do in South America. I've watched them on video. Not that people told me. I've watched them on video. And I said, if those kind of people enter Nigeria by any mistake, if by any mistake those people enter Nigeria, it will be hard to have a church in Nigeria. All these things they are doing all over the place, shouting, making noise, no soundness of doctrine. They will just sway. They will just sweep. They will empty a lot of churches. We are talking about, okay, you're looking at a human. This one, they do arrange miracles, and people are following them all over the place. They can't even discern. Then is it somebody that will carry a human being, lay him on the floor, and use his hand, and open the person's stomach? You will see the internal with blood. Then he will put the person back together without his scar. The person will stand up and walk within seconds. They will remove somebody's leg in South America. They will remove your leg like this. And show everybody in the sky and put it back. You stand up and walk. Let me give you guys another gist inside the gist. Today is gisting night. A guy who is, this between me and you guys, is a secret between me and you guys, okay? A guy who was a prophet to one of the presidents of Nigeria. And I know he was the president's prophet. He was always in the presidency. In fact, I am aware that he took men of God to the presidency. But at a point, he came to submit to me. He came to submit to me, okay? And that time I was preaching the materialistic gospel. When I was preaching the materialistic gospel, everybody wanted to be with me, everybody. So this guy came that he wants to submit to me. So I accepted him. The first day he came to submit to me, as soon as he just finished telling me he wants to submit to me, I was still praying for him. He dropped $50,000 for me on the ground. That's how rich this guy was, because he was in the presidency. He now told me that somebody came last night. Somebody came to see Mr. President. And when they sat down, Mr. President asked some people that came from different countries of the world who are prophets. Powerful prophets. The presidency brought all of them to see which one of them is more powerful, so he can retain him to work with this guy. That when the president now called the first person to come and show what he brought, is that the guy came before the president and sat down. Then the president said to him, "So show us what you brought." He held his head with his two hands and removed his head from his neck. And kept his head on one chair while his body and the neck is on another chair. And he was talking to the president from the other chair where his neck is without his body. That the president told him, "Is that the best you can do?" He said, "I have seen this one before. Put your head back. Get out next." I've never had this kind of thing. This was how I opened my mouth. I'm like, "Huh?" Okay, imagine such people doing crusade in Nigeria, where the man preaching removes his neck and keep it on a chair and he's still talking. So when we're talking about miracles, they are not exclusive to Christianity. Look at the magicians in Egypt. Look at the magicians. When Pharaoh brought his magicians before him and they brought Moses, They perform all kinds of signs, wonders, and miracles. It's just that Moses carried the power of God. If not that Moses had the power of God, he would have become an apprentice under those people. He would have joined their discipleship class. Because those guys had wonders. Egypt had too many signs and wonders. Egypt is the world's oldest civilization till tomorrow. So we can't be bragging with miracles. The only thing they cannot have is the revelation of Jesus Christ. They can't have it. And that is what we have that is exclusive to us as Christians. That's the point I'm making. Now, anyway, long story short, that prophet couldn't survive sound doctrine because the moment I started schooling him in sound doctrine, he took off. He took off, went and deleted my number. He doesn't call me. He doesn't reach out for years now because he can't stand it, you know, because he has to be that deceptive to be able to get them to give him money. In the book of 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15, 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15, Brother Paul will say, for such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. You can't hear me. Pastor Sean, you can't hear me.
Pastor Sean, I can hear you now.
How can I leave with you and come to Lagos and I'm still having network?
You started with when you started with 2 Corinthians.
Okay, nice. For such are false prophets. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Take note of the term transformed, transformed. Then 2 Thessalonians 2:9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. The emphasis of the church is the message. Did you observe that no apostle made signs and wonders an emphasis of his later? No apostle. No apostle. Not Peter, not Paul, not James, not John. None of them made the emphasis of their later signs and wonders. And so we shouldn't, because coming with these unbridled appetites is the need to perform. And then exaggeration will have to come in. Lies will have to come in. It will have to come in. And of course, many are doing such today. A fellow usually posts lies and have true testimonies on social media. And sadly, folks, you know, once thought should have dropped their spiritual diapers by now, started saying, yes, sir, that's what we've been looking for. Word and power, not just word. Word and power. Don't mind all these demeanor. They're lecturers. We want power. We're here. We're here. When all this cacophony of noise is over, we will still be here preaching Christ. You know, there are a lot of believers that have not outgrown sensationalism and hype, ridiculous testimonies like a fellow claiming to disappear. Entered a toilet in Germany, appeared where? In America, right? Pastor Deboye said he would travel without plane. And they showed where he was coming out of plane. These people are going to learn in a very hard way. I tell you. A man of God said to me, okay, I appeared in France. A man of God said to me, Dr. Davina, this thing is not good. Since you started teaching this sound doctrine in public space, you have made some of these our great heroes to look like little boys. I said to him, that's the power of sound doctrine. That's the power of sound doctrine. The most dangerous man on earth is a man that is armed with sound doctrine. He went to, from Germany to France, entered toilet and appeared in France. And entered toilet in France and appeared back in Germany. Wonderful. Then why wouldn't we just be entering toilets? Why should we be wasting God's money on flight tickets? Oh my goodness. So that's a problem. People are claiming ridiculous testimonies, making a woman become pregnant immediately by laying hands on her, making a light bulb come on without power supply. You know? Just ludicrous testimonies. Even Jesus himself did not make such incredible claims. And of course, you know, the mundane calling of phone numbers and dates of birth. I am in your village now 300 years ago. I can see your ancestors sitting round the fire in the evening. Right in your village, I see two old women. I see two old men. I see one young boy and two little girls. I'm right in your village. Your family house in the village is by the market square. The weekly market. Oh, Jesus. And people will see that, and that's all they're hearing day in, day out, day in, day out. And these are the people you want to contend with the kingdom of darkness. In fact, it goes without saying that some go into the occult to gain this prominence. You know, it will amaze you to know that a lot of these pastors are into Freemasonry, and a lot of them are into Illuminati. Even some of your famous musicians that you celebrate, they're in Illuminati. And I'm not joking, I'm very serious. You know, I'm not joking at all. The media hype has made some make even testifiers lie and exaggerate. Sad but true. You know, there's one of my sons in Abada that has been posting all kinds of things today because of anger. You know, just exposing all that is happening. He told me when he was in one particular denomination in Nigeria, one of these big denominations, his job was to coach people on how to say the testimony. If you have a testimony now, they will now carry you and say, no, don't say it like that. Say it like this. They tutor you and pack the testimony with exaggeration so that more people can be impressed and so that more people can come to the church. Because they hear some crazy things happening. So if somebody has headache, they will say my head, the veins in my head had fallen off. But when the man of God spoke, the veins came alive and the head sat well. Yes, don't say headache. Headache is normal. You have to make it sound nice. That was his work in that denomination at the headquarters. And it's a national church in Nigeria that spans around the world. They train him to be coaching people to lie as testimony. So today, if you go to his Facebook page, he's just busy exposing things on his Facebook page out of anger. He's just angry. He feels bad that they used him like that. Or the child that came with three kidneys in Abuja not long ago. The child had three kidneys. And they went to the hospital where they confirmed that the child had three kidneys. And the hospital confirmed that there is no such miracle that has ever happened in the hospital. They don't even have such a case. They are playing. This generation will go anywhere to prove your stories. They are not joking at all. Because people are tired. People want to know Christ. People want a relationship with God. They're tired of people, you know, taking advantage of them. I once witnessed a fellow do this, 2001. Not knowing that I was present till the end of the program, he called me on phone to gist me what happened in the program. He didn't know I was in the program. And then he told me a story that did not happen in the program. And I said, wonderful. You mean it happened? He said, man of God, you have not seen what God did today. I was there from A to Z. Then he told me another one. I said, all this happened? He said, man of God, you have no idea. I said, your anointing is at another level. He laughed. He dropped another one. Then when he has finished, I said, but I was there from the beginning at the end. I didn't see it. Which side of the hall did he happen? He said, all this happened inside the office before we enter the service. I said, see your face, lying spirit. Come out of him. Which office? There's even one that used to lie. This guy will lie. That is when I was learning ministry. I was still young in ministry. He lied one day so much in a full gospel businessman fellowship where they invited us to preach. I have finished preaching. Then they now call him to preach. He said, Damina has done the preaching. Now I'm going to share with you testimonies and I'll pray for miracles. This man told lies. He told lies until where I was sitting. At a point, I didn't know whether I said, Habba. I spoke out. I forgot I was sitting among the people he's ministering to. I didn't know whether I said, Abba. That is, this one has passed my power. I can't hide it anymore. He said he went somewhere in Gombe State in northern Nigeria. He went to preach. And the Metesine is an Islamic cult in Nigeria that used to kill Christians and pull down burn churches. They were called Metesine. And that 300 Metesine came out to attack him. He brought out his Bible and lifted his Bible and said, this is the power of God. And 300 of them became crippled at once. I didn't know what I said. Abba! In fact, this guy can exaggerate for Africa. He went to Kano State to go and preach for Assemblies of God Church. He lied and lied and lied and lied and lied. So after the service, some rich guys in the church followed him to his hotel and told him, man of God, we have never had a move of God like this. You mean all these things God is doing and nobody knows in the world? I'm going to sponsor, we will go on an investigation trip. I'll sponsor everything. We meet the people that have experienced these miracles. We will video them. They will tell their testimonies. We will confirm it and do a documentary and make sure the whole world gets to know what God is doing through your ministry. He said, yes. They said, tomorrow morning, as the crusade is finishing, we will start the tour. We are sponsoring everything. The next morning, before the pastor and everybody woke up, the man has left town. He has left town. I'm not joking. Now, so this is the same guy we went to full gospel who lied about the 300 meters in it that became crippled. So after lying through that night, one of the leaders of Full Gospel Business, when after we closed, came to me and whispered, he said, tell this your friend, we are not village market women. If you go and tell village market women this story, we don't believe his stories. But can I tell you something? This is like 30 years ago. Actually, 30 something years ago. 1 month ago, he was preaching in Kenya. Somebody told me, your long old friend is preaching in Kenya. I went to that church service to hear him. The same stories he was telling 30 something years ago, he was still repeating them in that church. The videos are on YouTube. I just don't want to expose it, but I will have given people the links to go and hear these stories. They are on YouTube. I called Pastor Philemon when I was watching. I said, Pastor Philemon, this man is the kind of man that the Bible will say it may be impossible for him to repent. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And all of those things is just to make people think you're a big man of God, to make people think you're powerful. And in all of those things, you will not hear any substance of the message of Christ. Now, enough said. To the power and signs and wonder hungry grace preachers, when you come across them, there's an old Midas legend of a man who, having met a genie, asked to be given such powers that everything he touched turned into gold. Okay? That everything he touched turned into gold. He enjoyed the flurry of glory till he found out even his cup, water, food, turned gold. And more tragic, as he touched his daughter, she turned into gold. So this is the lesson. If you get all you want, will you want all you get? If you get all you want, will you want all you will get? The greed for power and influence, which Jesus rejected. Jesus rejected it, which a lot of preachers today desire, puts them under pressure. Let me tell you the truth. People will not always be healed, and you will want to perform. And remember, every lie will need more lies. Then conspiracy will need more conspirators. And once you get into that line of action, your innocence disappears. You're right where you never wanted to be. History repeats itself. You are now what you once criticized. You know, some of these people that are saying, oh, Dr. Damina, since you started preaching this message, you have lost all your church members and all that. They pay their members to go for evangelism, 30,000 every week. They buy buses at all costs, and they fuel those buses to park people and just bring them anyhow. Then they sit on the members' necks to collect tithe and seed because they have to fund the buses, they have to fund the fueling, they have to fund the people they are paying to go for evangelism. When Jesus sent people to go and preach, he said, carry no purse, carry no script. That's what most of them are doing. That's what many mega churches are doing. When you hear the word mega churches, that's what many of them are doing. That's not apostolic. Gather people at all cost is not apostolic. Apostolic ministry is discipleship. Raising disciples. There's a lot that has gone wrong in the body of Christ. There's a lot that has gone wrong. And there are a lot of wrong models that have risen all over the place that gives a lot of young ministers the impression that you have to have crowd, you have to have money, you have to have cars, you have to have all of that for you to be a successful man of God. So there's a superstar style of ministry that is being celebrated in the body of Christ. And that's not apostolic. Let the gospel be preached and taught. Where signs and wonders happen, we give God glory. When it does not happen, we preach the gospel straight. Still, our emphasis must remain Christ, faith in Christ, faith in Christ, not miracles. Not signs, not wonders. Even Jesus didn't always heal the sick. Even Jesus didn't always heal the sick. Nor did he heal all the sick. Nor did Jesus always work miracles. Else, where did the sick crowd in the book of Acts emerge from if Jesus had healed all of them in the four gospels? Precisely, even the crippled fellow at the temple where Jesus taught. That beautiful gate, Jesus was always teaching in that temple. And that lame man was there all this while. Men and women of God, don't put yourself under undue pressure or influence by some fellow giving to sensationalism and exaggeration. Some prayer mountains are now filled with occultism and its influence. Beware of your search for power. Few years ago, I invited somebody to preach for me in Oyo. Before he came, I was doing daily conference, daily services, like 30 days of glory then. That was when I was just coming into, I was just rounding off my stay in the transactional message. So now at that point, I really wanted miracles and all that in my ministry because I was searching for something. So I began to pray for the sick in our church and they were getting healed. They were getting healed every day. We just minister the word, pray for the sick, and people just get healed. We line them up, they'll give testimonies. And the crowd began to grow. The crowd began to grow. So these guys saw my meetings and said they wanted to come because we're showing them on Kingdom Life Network there. He said he wants to come and join me in doing miracles. I didn't know he had arranged people to come and perform. Me, I was sincerely doing miracles. He said he wants to come and join me and do miracles. The first day he came, after I finished preaching, and I called him to minister. I didn't know he had arranged somebody to come into the service who swallowed a lizard, a dead lizard. I'm not joking. A dead lizard. So he now said there's somebody in the congregation. You have been sick for some time, and there's an object moving in your body. The power of God will fall on you now. The man fell down. They acted so professionally. Even me, I couldn't discern that it was acting. I thought it was a real miracle. The man crawled and crawled and crawled and came to the pulpit and started choking. You know the way you'll be choking on something. He was twisting his neck and choking, twisting his neck and choking. The whole church, everybody stood up, even people in the gallery, because of the miracles, our church was packed to the main road. We had TV screens outside everywhere. People like miracles. I mean, if you have been to Power City, that road, that main road, the main street, the main road where cars drive, we block that road and put seats on the road and put screens out there, and people filled it. The entire spaces in Power City were filled with human beings every day. Crowd, nowhere to put crowd. Yet, when I'm teaching, they will all sleep. When the miracle start, they will all wake up. Mama said to me, honey, this crowd you are building is a very useless crowd. I said, shut up, your mouth. You know what it's taking me to gather this crowd? She said, how can you be teaching the main word and they are sleeping? Wake up. Can't you see? I said, the crowd has gathered. Is it not crowd? They say we should gather. Then when the miracle happened, you see money. Money will fill the whole pulpit. Money. People will be dropping bundles of money. I'm not joking. I didn't know this guy was arranging miracles. I didn't know. God is my witness. After a few services, the crowd was so serious that service is 5 o'clock. By 8 a.m., half of the church is full. 8 a.m., people are sitting and waiting for service that is 5 p.m. People drive from Aba, from Calabar, from Port Harcourt to Uyo, and sit down in church for hours waiting for the 5 o'clock service. I'm not kidding you guys. When I say this, I've been around. I've been there. I know these things. I didn't know that this, my friend, was arranging miracles and was paying these people in his hotel. After the meeting, they will follow him to his hotel. He will pay them. How we caught him, because we caught him, how we caught him was, he brought one guy that he prayed for who was healed of blindness. I know, who was healed of deaf and dumb. Deaf and dumb. Then the following week, he brought the same person, thinking we will not recognize him. He brought him back as blind. Then my protocol people came to me and said, Papa, is this not the man that was healed a few weeks ago? I said, wait. It's true. So after the service, we went to the office and asked the man of God. I said, man of God, what are you doing? Is it not this man you prayed for 2 weeks ago that was blind, deaf and dumb, that came blind today? Are you arranging miracles? I told him, no, you won't do anything for me again. This is the end. As you leave tomorrow, thank you for your labor, right? Don't come back here again. I'm not joking. To gather crowd is not a prayer point. I know how to gather crowd. If you give me 2 weeks of gathering crowd, you will see crowd, you know where to put them. But when the crowd gather, is Jesus glorified in that gathering? That's the question. That's the question. That's the question. I've seen these things happen. So when I'm saying they arrange miracles, it's because I know they happen. It happens. I know they are doing it. Now, that guy that was arranging those miracles in church over the years has repented. Now, he's telling me he wants to do video and expose everything. that he too is tired of all these charlatans. He too wants to expose because he was their master there. He's fed up. So that is why I gave you the Midas touch story. If you get all you want, will you want all you will get? Now, to all genuine preachers of Christ, the next time anyone tells you to show signs and wonders, this is the reply you will give them. Matthew 12, 38 to 40. And that was Jesus' answer. Matthew 12, 38 to 40. Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we will see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Preach Christ. Christ is God's greatest sign and power. Jesus raised from the dead. Preach Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, Brother Paul will say this to Timothy. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. This is our gospel. This is our mandate. This is our legacy. The gospel of Christ. Father, I pray for this class tonight. Thank you for the time we spent tonight. Lessons learned, instructions received, revelation knowledge keeps growing in our hearts and minds. An army of men and women you are equipping that will take the world by storm in this platform. So I pray for every student of this academy, grace abounds. You are kept, you are delivered from wicked and unreasonable men. You are steadfast, you are unmovable. You're always abounding in the work of the Lord. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And in the name of Jesus, you are committed to Christ. You preach the word in and out of season. You are steadfast. You are resilient. You do not back down. You do not bow. You do not bend. You are totally sold out to the message of Christ. Great grace is upon you. Thank you, Father, for the blessing upon this class tonight. We serve you with our hearts, and we thank you that each one in this class is preserved for time and eternity. Thank you for the blessing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me give you the second assignment. Second assignment. Question one, what must the focus of the local church be? What must the focus of the local church be? Miracles, signs, wonders, or teaching? Miracles, signs, wonders, or teaching? Provide elaborate reasons for this from the teaching. Provide elaborate reasons for this from the teaching. Question number two. Let me go over question one again. What must the focus of the local church be? Miracles, signs, and wonders, or teaching? Provide elaborate reasons for this from the teaching. Question two. Does faith for miracles, signs, and wonders equate with faith in the gospel of Christ? Does faith for miracles, signs, and wonders equate with faith in the gospel of Christ? Question number three. What role did miracles, signs, and wonders play in the book of Acts? What role did miracles, signs, and wonders play in the book of Acts? Question number four. What practical lessons did you take away from this teaching? What practical lessons did you take away from this teaching? Highlight at least three of them. What practical lessons did you take away from this teaching? Highlight at least three of them. Let me go over the four questions. Number one, what must the focus of the local church be? Miracles, signs and wonders, or teaching? Provide elaborate reasons for this from the teaching. Question two. Does faith for miracles, signs, and wonders equate with faith in the gospel of Christ? Does faith for miracles, signs, and wonders equate with faith in the gospel of Christ? Question three. What role did miracles, signs, and wonders play in the book of Acts? What role did miracles, signs, and wonders play in the book of Acts? Question four. What practical lessons did you take away from this teaching? Highlight at least three of them. Glory to God. What a class, Pastor Sherry. It's a lot of gisting class tonight.
Yes, Baba. Glory to God.